So where we were, we're looking at David. He's on the run from his son. He's, if not, de he's depressed. He's crying because he's lost the Aron, he's lost the Malchut, he's lost Yerushalayim. He realizes he's lost his closest ally, Achitophel. And then Hushai Archi comes. And we don't know what Hushai Archi does, but after that, David's now got a plan. He's active. He's doing something. So we have the Gemara kind of fills in the blanks there. And this is the Agada we read last time. Source 24. Amar Yehuda Marav. Bikish David lavot avodah zarah. David wanted to worship avodah zarah. Shneimar, it says, Vayhi David ba al harosh. David went to the head, asher yishtachaveh sham Elohim, that he would bat that one would bow down to, reading Elohim as the gods. And Rosh al avodah zarah, that this Rosh here, take it literally, was the head of an idol. Shneimar, it says, and Daniel has this vision of this massive idol, Hutsama Reshe Didahavtav, that a head of this idol had a head of gold. And then the Hilikrato Hushi Aharki, Karua Kutanto, Badamal Rosho, and then Hushi comes with dirt on his face, his clothes are torn. Amrlo David, this is the conversation Hushi has with David. Hushi is the Rea Hamelach, the friend of the king. Yomru Melashemot Kushekamotcha Yavoda Badazara, what are you doing? They're going to say, a king like you, David Melch is worshiping Avodah Zarah. Amar lo, so he says, David says back, Melch shekamoti yagena beno, a king like me, my son's going to kill me. Mutav yavod Avodah Zarah ba'al yitchalel shem shamayim b'far hesia. Better that I should serve Avodah Zarah and shem shamayim, name of God will not be mechulal, there not be any chilul Hashem here, any public chilul Hashem. Yeah, we have no idea what any of this means. It's very strange. So Amar Hushai says back, my time I can receive it, Yifat Toar. Why did you marry an Esha Yifat Toar? Avshalom's mother was a captive in war. And again, we don't see the connection here yet. Amar Le, Yifat Toar, Rachman Asharya. And David says back, I'm allowed to. Torah says it's okay. Amar Le, Hushai says back, Lo derachas smuchin, the samichle, didn't you learn what the psukim that come right after that? Smuchim. One pasuk follows another one, because right after the pasuk of Esha Yifat Toar is the paragraph of Ki Yela Ish Ben Sarera Moreh. Mm. If a person will have a rebellious son, Kona Se Yifat Toar. Yeah, I would conclude anyone who marries a Yifat Toar, Yeshlo Ben Sarera Moreh, will have a rebellious son. That's for Gemara. Very hard to figure this out. The way Rashi puts it. When he's saying Yomar Melash Kamoti, that Chasid Shekamoti, and David telling Hushai that I am such a Chasid. Everyone thinks that I'm a Chasid. Everyone thinks I'm perfect. Hargo, but no. If my son kills me, you Mitramim Al Midatav Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to. People are going to say this and say, obviously, God is not just. If this civil war happens, then obviously David does not deserve it because he's perfect. Then. That will be a chil Hashem. That's a chil Hashem. People are going to say that about God, that God isn't just. So mutab evod avodah zarah. Better that I should serve and worship avodah zarah. And then I will do the wrong thing. And then we will see. That's why he was killed, because he was mechal. He was worshiped avodah zarah. Still doesn't understand. I still don't understand, right? That's what he's saying. Better that I should worship idols and deserve to die. Than that, the syllable war, which is a chilul Hashem. So if you want to figure out what Agada means, there are two major chidushei Agadot. Looking at the Gemara, there is the Maharal, and there's the Marsha. And the Maharal, which is very uncharacteristic, takes this all literally. That David is going to worship Avodah Zarah, which I still don't understand. This is the Maharal. Yikesh l'avod Avodah Zarah. He was going to bow down to an idol. He intended it for God's sakes. He truly didn't want to, wasn't going to worship, but he was going to act that way. So that this possibility of a chilul Hashem wouldn't happen. That people will say, ah, he's being killed for no reason. He wanted to publicly show everyone that he was sinning. And Hushi says to him, Melach kamotcha yishtachaveh, that a king like you, He's going to bow down to idols. Tomar, Apagav, divide thy ink about Kala, but of Azara. Even though I know full well that you don't really want to serve about Azara. It's a terrible kill. Obviously, it's a worse kill Hashem for you to be bowing down to an idol. Yet Gadol Kamodcha, that someone as great as you, Mishtaka Velvet Azara. And the answer that he gives is that this civil war is not a chil Hashem, because everyone knows why it's happening. It's because Avshalom is a ben yifat Torah. Hakol yodim, he divides there. Bezra Moret, Meshi Fat Torah. This idea that you marry an Eshe Yifat Torah, you end up with a ben Zera Moret. That's why he's fighting against you. That the Barzeh Gorem, this is what caused it to happen in Cain, and therefore in Kan Chil Hashem Shemayim. No one's going to say, there's a God is not just because of what happened. Everyone knows that you were at fault because you married this ancient Fat Torah.
I never heard this before.
What? This connection?
If you marry Isha Yafei Tawar, that you're going to have a Ben Sorer more.
So if you look at the Rashi on that, those Psukim in Kitetse, it goes through that.
Yeah.
And we talked about, when we talked about Avshalom in the first place and who Avshalom's mother was. So this is, come on, this is the way the Gemara brings that up, and that's what he's saying. You should have derashed smuchot, and everyone else would be derashed smuchot. We'll see this one thing led to another one. It's not going to be a Hashem, don't worry. Mashal looks at it completely differently. What does it mean to be Oved Avodah Zarah? What does that mean in the Agadic sense? It doesn't mean worshiping idols. Right? There's one point where David actually says, I'm going to worship other gods. Anyone remember this from Shmuel Aleph? When he's on the run from Shaul, it's one of the incidents where he has an opportunity to kill Shaul, but he doesn't. He won't touch Mashiach Hashem. And he tells Shaul that, don't fight me. I'm on your side. Verse 27. So this is 30 years before this. Shmuel Aleph Perichafa. Vatayishma Nada Niamela. Now you, please, my lord the king, please listen. At Divrei Avdo. Your servant say, if God is the one that's induced you to hate me, then Yareach Mincha, then I can offer an offering, and then hopefully God will forgive me, and then I will be reconciled with you. And if it's people who are convincing you that I'm the enemy, then they are cursed with Nei Hashem before God. Because they have cast me away. To be part of, to be literally an appendix to, the inheritance of God. You're making me leave. Lemorla. Then they're saying, these people who are telling you that David is your enemy, they're saying, Lech avod elohim acharim. Go worship other gods. That's what people are telling me. And the Gemara in Ketubah says, what is that? What does it mean to, when David is saying, that I've been told, Lech emor le'avod Elohim acharim, that's what it means to be kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. Verse 28. We're going to get very tzioni here. So, Kol hadar be'Eretz Yisrael, domek mish lo eloka. That someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael has a God. V'chol hadar b'chus la'aretz, domek mish ein lo eloka. And if you're living outside Eretz Yisrael, you have no relationship to God. Remember, as it says, L'teit lachem et Eretz Kanaan, li'ot lachem elokim. God is giving us the land in order to be elokim. We should make aliyah now. The Gemara asks, do we take that literally? You have no relationship to Hashem. It's telling you, anyone living outside Eretz Yisrael, it's like worshiping Avodah Zarah. Right? You're not really, it's Avodah Zarah in the sense that it is Zar. It's wrong. You're not serving Hashem the way it's supposed to happen. David. The example is exactly what David said in that previous paragraph. They have kicked me out of the inheritance of God to say, go worship other gods. And who said that? No one said they shouldn't worship other gods. That's the Gemara on that previous paragraph. So that's the way the Marsha reads this Agada as well. Bikesh Lavod Avodah Zarah meant he's leaving Eretz Yisrael. He's giving up. Okay, my son's going to take over the country. Fine. I'll go Moab, I'm on. There are plenty of other countries out there. I can retire, write my memoirs. That's the Bikish. Verse 29. This is Marsha. Lavod Avodah Kochavim. He's going to worship Avodah Zarah. Dahinu Lelech Livroch Mipnei Benel. That David's saying he's going to run away because of his son, Mei Eretz Yisrael Chutz La'aretz. Just leaving Eretz Yisrael entirely. Havelei Ke'oved Avodah Kochavim. That that is considered in the eyes of Gemara like worshiping idols. Mashkatu b'Davi b'Yotob b'Orech Mipnei Sha'ul. Like we said when he's running away from Sha'ul. Was Hushai tell him back? I'm like Hushai, Melech Shekamotcha, that you're the king. You can't do that. Av Shekvar Haite Borech Mipnei Sha'ul, who's Arab. That back way then, many years ago, when you ran away and you ran to the Plishtim, when you're running away from Sha'ul, Shelo Haite Adayim Melech, you weren't the king at that point. You can't give that up now. Maybe Koch Nefesh, Shelo Yarog Ha Sha'ul, and there you would try to save your life, that Sha'ul shouldn't kill you. Now you are the king and people are looking up to you. You cannot run away. So David, when David says back, that a king like me, still, my son's going to kill me. Better that I should leave Eretz Yisrael, which is like worshiping my brother. I realize it's a bad thing. That the civil war is going to be a chilul Hashem. It's better for the people to let Absalom take over without having a civil war. That's what David's argument here is. I can't fight him. And that Hushai argues, no, that running away would be a worse chilul Hashem. David Amel, David Amel would leave Eretz Yisrael. He can't give up on the people. He can't do that. So then Gemara argues that Hushai brings up this idea of smichut devarim, that one pasuk follows another one. You should learn from the sequence of Pesukim, Eshekifa Tovar, leads to Ben Surah Morim. And I want to look at that. Like, why is that relevant? How does that help? How does that change David's mind? Why is that an argument? I couldn't find any information. So you have to listen to me then, if that's okay. Because this is what I'm thinking. If you look at the actual Pesukim, it isn't really Samuch. Ben Surah Moreh doesn't come after the Yeshiva Torah. There's a paragraph in between. So when you look at the Smichat Devarim, the Rishat Smuchim, we look at one pasuk after another one. The first paragraph, if you'd say, is Rita Bashivya Yeshiva Torah. See a beautiful captive, you take her for your wife. And we know that's not necessarily a good thing, but it's the Torah's Dibra Keneged Yetzer Hara that says, okay, we're going to allow you to do this because otherwise Yetzer Hara will make things even worse. You want her, so you would have to take her as a wife. The next paragraph is Ki Tiena Le'ish Shtei Nashim. The man has two wives, Achad Ova V'Chasnuwa, one love more than the other one, Yodha Lo Vanim Ha'ova V'Chasnuwa. And both have children, and the oldest one belongs to the Sniya, the one that's bloodless. And when he's giving the inheritance to his children, everything he has, cannot recognize the beloved one, even who is not the Bechor, instead of the Ben Asnua, who is the Bechor. That's the second paragraph. The third paragraph is Kiel Ish Ben Sarer Morev. The man has a rebellious, wayward son. Doesn't listen to his parents. Yisro tells you, discipline him, but Yishmael him doesn't. And he still does not listen. So this Muchim actually goes in three, is in two different steps. First is Eshi Yifat Tovar. Then there's the having two wives, and you're picking the Ben Ahuva over the Ben Asnuah when the Ben Asnuah really deserves to have the inheritance. That's the smichut that we're missing in here. And then if that happens, then you end up with a Ben Sorer Moreh. Rebellious son is going to be that Bechor, the Ben Asnuah, who was not picked. So that's exactly what's happened here. Everyone knows what's happened. Avshalom feels he's the oldest at this point. He deserves to be the crown prince. He's the son of Macha Bat Melech Kishur, who you've been married, David's been married to since before he went into Hebron. But instead, David picks the son of Bathsheba, Shlomo, to be the next king. It's exactly the story of paragraph two. Usually we think paragraph two of the Ahavah Shna in terms of Yaakov, but that's really what's happened with David as well. He's chosen the youngest child to be his successor. And what actually happened there is both of these cases really are like the Eshiyat Torah. The Eshiyat Torah is a concession to the Yetzer Hara, right? Everyone knows that he took Avshalom's Yetzer Torah. And the same thing is true of Bathsheba, that he's taken Bathsheba, and he may have been technically correct, as he says, Rahman Asharia, the Pasuk says. We quoted him here as Yifat Torah Rahman Asharia. Yifat Torah, I'm technically allowed to, and he had the same excuse by Bathsheba. I'm allowed to marry her, right? I have all these technical reasons there. But still, it was the wrong thing to do. It was a concession to his Yetzer Hara. And in fact, the Eshiva Torah says that the more you give in to the Yetzer Hara, the worse it gets. So you have these two cases of David giving into the Yetzer Hara. You have two wives, two sons. You have chat here. And Phil Shapiro is adding that monogamy is the best thing. Yes, I agree completely. And then he would end up, and by choosing the younger one, he ends up in this position of Ben Sura Moreh. So Hushai is arguing that, no, there's no Chil Hashem, because no one thinks that you're that much of a chassid. No one thinks you're a tzaddik. Here, everyone knows what happened here. You know, so the fact of the Chil Hashem isn't in the civil war. Because the fact that you're punished and you're suffering, your sons are rebelling against you, that was a punishment for the things that you did wrong. Effectively saying, the Chil Hashem happened already. You've already messed up, David. Running away is not going to make it better. Right? You already lost. You weren't Doreis Zesmuchim because you missed that middle step. You didn't think you could go straight from Eshiyat Torah to Ben Sura Moreh, but you don't. You have this middle part thing, this middle part that made things, that made one event follow after another one, and running away only makes it worse. That's Hushayarki. That's the way I would read the argument of the Rishat Smuchim. But still, it's not very encouraging, right? That is saying, right, you're already Mechal Shel Shemayim, there's no point making it worse. You already messed everything up badly. You're just making things worse, right? Thanks a lot. So there's an Agada that Rashi, the Rashi's in quotes here on Divrei Yamim, because the commentary that's published under the name Rashi in Divrei Yamim is not by Rashi. Even the Art Scroll says that. But no one's quite sure, so we'll call it that. Pseudo Rashi. It's clearly older than the actual Rashi was. But anyway, this is a commentary on Divrei Yamim that's in the Mikra Gedolot. And he says that Hushai was more positive than saying, David, you already were Mechal Shem Shamayim. You have no hope. And it goes back to the Rishat Smuchim. Hushayarki Re'ama. Hushayarki was the friend of the king. Midrash Rabbah. He's quoting a Midrash, and we don't have this anywhere here, but Sheshachata David beVatsheva. David sinned with Batsheva. Sha'al Hushayarki. He asked Hushi, Im Yeshuv B'tshuva, if he does tshuva, we've seen him do this tshuva, his process of tshuva, Im Yekablena Kadosh Baruch Hu, will Hashem accept this? Will he turn things around? Yekablena Kadosh Baruch Hu B'tshuva, Will Hashem accept this tshuva? Latet lo arucha, to give him erach apayim, to have mercy on him, to give him more time. That's our key. We give him arucha for his siv, omer lo kain, yes. That's why he's called Hushi Arki, because he is the one who tells him, yes, Hashem will give you this erach. As we go to Rosh Hashanah, we need to know that not only do we do the tshuva, Hashem will accept that. So where is the reassurance that we're seeing Hushai is giving him? It clearly does, because David turns his attitude around after meeting him. So David says, okay, you're right, I'm not going to run away from Eretz Yisrael. Let's go back in the idea of drishat smuchim. Where does that come from? That we say that it is halakhically significant if one paragraph follows from the next, it means we can learn from one to the next. That's what drishat smuchim means.
Not halakhically, but
right.
Morally, or
right. So
how to live.
So the Yeshivat Torah is a midrashic. It's a moral connection.
Yeah.
But it is also halakhically appropriate that we will learn halakhot from one to the next. Classic example is
Shabbat and the Mishkan.
Okay, that I think is more direct. It specifically connects them. But I think the one I'm thinking of is for Beged Shatnez. You can't wear Shatnez, and then says Gedilim Taselacha. You should make these fringes on your garments. Oh. Where the Gemara says that tzitzis can be Shatnez. In other words, right. You can have a wool tzitzit on your linen garment. There are a lot of examples like that. But where does that come from? That's the Gemara in Bracha. The Gemara in Yochanan. Smuchin min haTorah minayin. How do you know you can learn smuchin? One thing follows from another one. And you can learn conclusions from that. That it's not just a bunch of random paragraphs. Shneema, the answer comes from Tehillim.
Danny, when you list all those 13 principles of Kal Vachomer and
right.
is Smuchim one of them?
No.
Oh, it should be.
You can call Rabbi Yishmael and say you missed one. Right. That list of 13 is not exhaustive, obviously.
Oh.
Because there are other principles for learning halacha than those 13.
Oh, I guess so. But this fits into those, like.
You're right. I feel free to complain or have Phyllis Shapiro's, the Arba Se Midot HaTorah Nidrash Behem. That's okay. But the Gemara brings it from Perek Tehillim. Okay? The Perek Tehillim, it says, Smuchim La'ad Olam. It's talking about the laws of God. Are smuchim, literally meaning they're reliable, they can be relied on. We say smuchim, they are next to each other. Smuchim la'adolam, they are next, they are adjacent forever. Asvim be'emet v'yashar, they are ordered in this midrashic sense, ordered in truth and righteousness, and straight away. In other words, words of Hashem are in order. That means something. The perek is over here, Tehillim Kuf Yud Aleph, which I think we're going to go through in more detail next time. Maseya Dov and Met Mishpat. The works of Hashem are truth and justice. Ne'amanim Kol Pekudav, all of his laws, that's where he gets the connection to the halachot, are ne'amanim, faithful. They are smuchim la'ad olam. They are reliable, but also in this midrashic sense, they are connected. They are adjacent to one to another. Asuyim be'emet v'yashar. Made, created in truth and straightforwardness. And therefore, Hashem sends salvation to his people. Tivat l'olam brito, commanded this brit forever. We say that in Yom Na'ra'im. God is awesome. Reshit chachma yirat Hashem, the beginning of wisdom, the fear of God. Sechel tov l'chol zehem. A good idea for everyone who does those mitzvot. Kilo to omer la'ad, and praise exists forever. The Drishat Smuchim comes from Tehillim in this way, in this sort of agadic sense. This way I'm reading this agadic. Hushai is saying agadically telling David, don't give up, that this is what you said.
Yeah.
You told me. Right? These are your words, David. Smuchim ahem, right? You can learn the Smuchim one after another. Consequences follow. One thing leads to another one. There's a plan there. Assume be'emet v'yashar. There is truth and justice in the world, and eventually we'll end up with Pedut Shalach Liamo.
Really, how does the whole idea of Ein Mukam, Ein Mukhar, B'Torah, how does that fall in here? Does it?
That does, and that's a separate, right. So that's a question about the narrative sequence, but that actually makes the point that Ein Mukam, Mukhar doesn't mean that the stories are random. Means they're put in order, but not necessarily chronological order.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that if it's out of chronological order, then you have something to say there. Why is it out of chronological order? Then there's a connection between the stories you should be learning.
Wait, I missed something. Like, if you follow the Smuchim, how is that comforting for David?
We haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yes. The Smuchim so far are Ishifat Toar, Hava Vashnua, you have two wives, you have the Ben of Bechor, you end up with a rebellion because your sons are arguing about who should inherit you. Yeah, so far it's all negative. So we're going to get Chassidus. But you're absolutely right. We need to do this because we need to carry the Smuchim further. Don't stop at the Ben Serera Moreh. Keep getting this paragraph down. So this, we're going to bring in the Gera Rebbe here, the Sfas Emes, because I'm a lapsed Gera, okay? We're going to look at the, continue the paragraph. What's the next paragraph? For the, going from Kiel Ish Ben Serera Moreh, rebellious son, and Ish Mevakol of Yivimo, then the next one is Kiel Ish Ve'ish Chet Mishpat Mavet Brumat. The person has a commits a capital crime is put to death. Talito Tol El Itz. You shall hang that person on a gallows. Okay, that's what comes after the Ben Soror Moreh. We learn Smuchim, then what happens to Absalom?
Yeah.
He's literally hanged from a tree.
Ah.
Okay? And then the
that's
next
theory. Paragraph.
What?
That's theory.
And now, okay, but we're going to go to the next paragraph. Then all of a sudden, the Torah changes tax entirely to Lo Tiret Shor Achicha O Seyod Nidachim. Loav HaShabbat Aveda. Thou shalt not observe the ox or the sheep of your brother wandering, and hide yourself from them. You need to return them to your brother. And if your brother isn't close to you, and you don't know him, this the owner, and he doesn't know you, you bring the lost object to your house. And you should hold on to it until the owner looks for it. And then you can return it. That's the next paragraph there. So the Sfas Emes takes this paragraph of Lo Tiret Shor Achicha metaphorically. Nechazal katru, ki zacha tzadik. There's a principle in Chazal that if a tzadik does the righteous thing, no tel chelko v'chelek chaviro b'gan eden. And you may somehow get the portion of his own portion, Gan Eden, ultimate reward, but also another person who may have lost their portion, the tzaddik will get that portion as well. And it would make sense to say, Gam Bolo Mazeh is true in this world also. That a Rasha does something wrong will lose his merit, his right, that the reward we get in this world is to allow us to do mitzvot, and if you don't do mitzvot, Hashem will just say, well, you don't deserve to have all the stuff. That's the idea of war and punishment in this world. But saying that, you know, it's possible that the good deeds that a Rasha did, that a tzaddik may actually get the reward for them. Metaphorically, may find someone else's zuchuyot. Tzaddik says that he finds it easier to do masim tovim. He's being rewarded for these things. Shalapi avodatov, that's more than he deserves. Said a person should realize that this really, these misfot that you're doing now, that really belongs to somebody else. You found somebody else's opportunities. But you have to pay attention to this. You need to go give other people that opportunity to do the mitzvot. You need to return that to others. Don't hog the mitzvot for yourself. Give other people the opportunity. That's your job. If you're, you know, the fact that you're wonderful means that you have a mission to help other people be wonderful also. That's what it means to be, and that those mitzvot should be with you until your brother is derished and seeks them out. Be prepared to help other people do mitzvot. Because Shav HaRasha b'tshuva, yasterinlo. When the Rasha does tshuva, you'll be an opportunity to give those mitzvot to that person. That's your job there. Du Hashem Tshivim, that you need to return the parish. You will be carrying it means that once you realize that you're getting more than you deserve, the tzaddik himself will do tshuva, become a better person. That will inspire others. You're doing mitzvot should be in a way that inspires other people to do mitzvot. Don't be selfish about them. They don't really belong. Oh, it doesn't all belong to you. That's the mitzvah of Hashabbat Aveda. You're there to be an example to others. And that's, I think, part of the reassurance there, that once we've gone through this smichut that's gotten worse and worse, at some point you need to realize that you're an example to others, and you need to return. That's your job, is to give your life as a lesson to others. That's which is reassurance to David.
Very nice.
Okay.
He doesn't bring in David as an example. No.
I'm sorry?
He doesn't bring in David as an example.
He does not bring David as an example. We've done that before, that the Gemara Dev clearly says that the whole story about Sheva is to teach us about Tshuva.
Yeah.
And we'll learn that. And we'll see that in this Perkat Tehillim, which we'll have to do next time. That's what this is telling the Tzaddik, that you are an example. You are a lesson to others.
Very nice.
You can't be what Rabbi Sack likes to quote as a Tzaddik in pelts.
A Tzaddik what?
In pelts, in furs. In other words, you're a tzaddik, but it's cold outside, so you're wearing more fur. What you should do is build a fire for everybody else.
Oh.
Let's do that. But Shabbat Shabbat, that means we have a responsibility to bring others to tshuva. And that's why in the Agada that Rashi brought, Chushai Arki is telling David that Hashem, Yikablen Yikarish Broker B'tshuva, B'tei Arucha, will give you this tshuva because this will be the example to others. You can do this. Because you will be an example. And then the Marsha actually adds this mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. This next step in the Smichut Devarim applies to Hashem himself. And the Marsha starts with, if you look at the pasuk about Hashavas Aveda, Lo tirat shor achicha o seo nedachya. Thou shalt not see the ox or the sheep wandering. And the pasuk goes on, talks about Kedah Selach HaMoro, you do that for donkey, some mato, there's clothing. The Gemara above Metziah analyzes each of those different words. What does each phrase teach me? The ox, the donkey, the clothing. But reaches the conclusion that has no idea what to do with Seth. Gemara says, quotes it, Seth, dikhtata b'parashat aveda, v'chulei alma kasha. This word say, oh, the sheep is, everyone agrees, it is, no one knows what to do with it. It seems to be completely redundant. There's no halakhic conclusion from that. No istrichle, it's not needed, it's redundant. So the Marsha says, no, it's there for an agadic interpretation, not a halachic one. That what's the seh that's lost? Omer says in Tehillim, ta'iti kaseh oved. That is saying, I am like a lost sheep. Bakesh avecha, please Hashem, seek out your servant. The Solomon, meaning, the seh oved, like a lost sheep, amor parshat aveda. This is the seh that's lost in the parsha of Hashavas Aveda that we just quoted. It's not needed halakhically for the laws. Ramuz al Yisrael. It's hinting about Yisrael. Nikriim sepzura that are called this lost sheep. We are lost sheep. The David here is called himself a lost. He's a lost sheep. God, please look for please seek me out so that I can be returned to you. Him hema said the abda shabatara. They are the lost sheep in the Torah, Hashem Yibarach, Hu Ba'alav Shol Tosa. Hashem is the owner of this lost sheep. And we ask Hashem, please, your responsibility is to make sure that we are returned. And that's the lesson, another lesson of Simlichat Drishat Smuchim. That's what comes out next. That even after all of this, and everything's fallen apart, Yibben Sur Moran, Talita Ol Eids, Yibben Humavet, still, we have the opportunity to be found. Tshuva is always possible. That's the lesson of Drishat Smuchim. And that we end up with Hashem is known as waiting Adrosh Achicha Otel until we seek Hashem back again. So now we have left in this place. And that's why I would read this Agada. That Hushai Zarki is telling David, don't give up. You need to learn Drishat Smuchim. Yes, we go from Yifat Tovar to the Ben Hasnua to the Ben Sura Mara to the Talita Ola Eitz, but we'll end up being Adrosh Achicha and return back to where we started. At this point, all the pieces are in place for our little civil war. Avshalom is coming to Yerushalayim. David has sent Hushai back to try to be a double agent. We'll see how everything works out. And we'll stop here.
Danny, so you put it all together, right? No one makes the connection
That's right. That's why this idea here, I said that up here, is that here, I want to develop this, but I can't find any person here. So everything from this point on is me.
Oh, okay. Beautiful.
I'm quoting the, you know, the Hashavas Aveda part as metaphoric for tshuva and for bringing other people to tshuva is obviously Marsha and that's Svasemas.
But right, but relating it.
As a
it's beautiful. And it works because of that se oved, which is the same words David uses.
Right. Masha makes that point too, yes. Yeah. It's very nice midrashically. And again, this is all reading it agarically. That's we read reading Agarata as Aviva Zornberg puts it, as being the subconscious of the text.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? The text itself just says, Hushai comes. And David tells him, here's what you're going to do to try to defeat Absalom.
Well, but it says Hushai is his friend.
Yes. So. Right, right.
And so the name, it works with the name Ha'arching. Very nice.
Yes. It all that's what
we're, fits in all the pieces.
It does. It's nice. That's why we like this.
I like it. Very nice.
A nice lesson here. I'm going to stop recording. Thank you.
Beautiful.